Nice to be here again. Pat gave me a subject. It's a little bit echoey. Pat gave me a subject that was about 10 sermons long. So you'll be glad that I'm not going to follow what he's asked me exactly. The subject he gave me was the person and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought about that, and I could have talked about some of that, but really the thing that I wanted to talk about, I think when he said the purpose of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't saying why does the Holy Spirit exist. I think he meant to say what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit upon the earth today. So that's what I'm going to speak about. What I believe is the purpose of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. What's going wrong?
It's far more to one side every time you move your head. It's really hard to get a sound right.
Yeah, the purpose of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. And I was going to sort of talk from a sermon that I gave in Worthing about 5 weeks ago. And I was going to just put a different emphasis on it. And I spent a morning preparing it. And then we were getting ready to come out on Friday up here. And I just felt the Lord put something else on my heart about it. So I haven't had as much opportunity as I would have liked to prepare. So I trust that it will be okay. Trust the Lord to lead us through. Is that still all right? It still feels very echoey to me. So I don't know whether is it all right? And what I'm going to do to illustrate, I'm going to take you through a story this morning from the Old Testament to illustrate what the Holy Spirit's doing on the earth today. And you find that story in Genesis and chapter 24. I hope you don't think it's too stretching the point too much, but the story in Genesis 24 concerns five people. There's a father called Abraham, and Abraham's waited a long time for his child with Sarah. He's 100 when he has her, when he has this child Isaac, and his wife was 90. And we get to the point where the son, Isaac, who's another character in our story, is ready to get married. And what we find is that Abraham says, I don't want a wife for my son from the women around where I'm living in Canaan. They're all sort of very foreign. I want to get a wife for my son from my wider family. And so he calls his servant Eliezer. I believe it's Eliezer. It doesn't actually say in 24. It says that his chief servant is Eliezer elsewhere. And he calls him to go and get a wife for his son. And I hope you're with me on this morning, that I want to liken Abraham to God the Father. And I want to make Isaac like God the Son, Jesus. And I want to make Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, like the Holy Spirit. Eliezer actually means, my God is help. And if you know the Bible a little bit, you might know that my God, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was about to leave his disciples, he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. And he talked to them and he described him as the one who gets alongside or the one who helps. So I believe that Eliezer is a picture of the Holy Spirit. My God is help. And he's there to help us. But the question is, what is he there to help us to do? When I was a new Christian, there was a lot of talk about the church being the bride of Christ. Don't hear it so much now. To sing a song regularly called Thou Dost Seek a Bride All Pure and Holy. And if you read it, you'll read in Revelation about the church being the bride. You'll read in Ephesians about the church being the bride of Christ. And I believe that the essential purpose of the Holy Spirit on the earth today is to discover and then to develop and nurture a bride fit for Jesus. That is what he's here to do. That is what the purpose of your life is about. It is to be that the Holy Spirit is nurturing you and guiding you so that you are being fit to be a bride for Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Well, perhaps it's not for you, but I think it is exciting. That is the purpose of history. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about Brexit or anything going on, really. It's about the Holy Spirit wanting to get hold of you and leading you in a place where you are ready for that day when you will marry Jesus, or together we marry Jesus as a bride. I know it might be difficult to understand, but that's how the Bible describes it. Together, we're going to be the bride of Christ, a bride fit for the Son of God. And this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. So that's his job today. He's there to lead you and guide you to that place until you get there. Sorry, I got my glasses out. So we're going to look at our story, chapter 24 of Genesis, if you've got it. And I'm not going to read it all the way through. It's a long chapter, you'll be pleased to know. I'm just going to pick out bits that illustrate the points I want to make. I'll start at the beginning. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, that's Eliezer, "My God is help, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. We shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there." Beware that you do not take my son back where. Now, the first point I want to make is that, and I hope I can explain what I'm trying to say here, is that the Holy Spirit does not seek to bring Jesus into your life. That might seem strange. He's wanting your heart to be drawn towards him. It's easy, isn't it, to think, well, Lord, I want you to bless my work. I want you to bless my family. I want you to bless my church. I want you to bless my outreach. I want you to bless what I'm about. And that is not what the Holy Spirit is about. He's about is to turn your eyes off of yourself and your situations onto Jesus. Are you looking at Jesus this morning? Are you? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's about. He's trying to get you. He's trying to get you to leave your situation in your heart. Not talking about physically so much, but in your heart, he's trying to get you off of yourself and off of your concerns, and saying your job is to look towards your son. You know, when you're getting ready to get married, I know when I'm a numbers person. Christian will tell you this. I think from about 9 months out, I was counting the days down till I got married. For about 270 or something like that. Every day I thought, another day gone, another day gone, another day nearer getting married. My whole focus really for that year, 9 months, was I'm going to get married. I'm going to get married on the 13th of September. I'm going to get married. And that was the focus. It was all about the wedding. And you see, it wasn't about what I was at work. I was a young site engineer at the time. Had a few ups and downs on site. But that wasn't my main focus. Main focus wasn't even the church. It was really the fact that I was looking forward to that day when my life was going to change. And I think that's where the Holy Spirit wants to get you. To the point where you're looking forward to the day when you're going to be one with Jesus for good. He's trying to get you off of yourself. You're not to go back. It isn't that Jesus is going to come back and transform this world. It's the fact that he wants to transform you now. Come into your heart and transform you so that you're becoming more and more ready and fit to be that bride of Christ. That's his work. And that's what he's trying to do. Are you ready for that? Or are you living down here praying that God will come into your situation and do something miraculous? When really what he wants to do is transform what's in here. He doesn't want to bring Jesus into the world. He wants to bring you to Jesus. Are you prepared for that? Or are we governed by the world and everything going on around us, just the circumstances of life, the pressures, the busyness, the bad stuff? Are we governed by all that? Or are we governed by this heart which says, actually, I want to walk with the Lord. I want to build my life on Jesus, on a relationship with Jesus above all else. Because that is where he wants to lead you. That is what is going to take you. And he's looking for people that are prepared for that. Looking, searching the earth, looking for men and women that will say, actually, I want to set my heart on Jesus, being married to Jesus. Would you do that? So let's move on. Abraham says, and if the woman, verse 8, is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. You see that? How powerful the Holy Spirit is. He's got all that's of God is in his hand. All that's in his hand. He could give to the wife everything that was of the Father. You realise how powerful the Holy Spirit is in our lives today. He's saying, I can give you everything. It's all in my hand. Then the servant took 10 of his... that's right, he said that. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Now, if you look on a map, I looked on a map, where they went, the journey they would have gone. It's about 1,000 miles, presuming that they went up through Canaan and ended up, I forget where it is, somewhere up there, and then came back down the river Euphrates, down into Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq. It was like going up, you go up through Israel today and then through Syria, and then you come back down through Iraq to where Mesopotamia was. Mesopotamia was Iraq. So it's about 1,000 mile journey, so it wasn't an easy journey. But we'll say more about that a bit later. And he says this, he makes a prayer when he gets to this place, the city of Nahor. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Do you see what he says? His prayer is this. I'm looking for somebody that's going to give me a drink and my camels. We've got to be careful because we live in a consumerist society. We live in an attitude where it's all about what can I get out of this? What's in it for me? And we've got to see that God, the Holy Spirit, is on the earth looking for people that are going to say, I'll give you to drink. Is that what your heart is this morning? I want to give. I want to give. Because the Holy Spirit's looking for givers, not consumers. And it goes against the grain. It goes against what we grow up around us. You know, men, advertising agencies are trying to get us to buy their products all the time because it makes them rich. So they're saying, buy this, buy that. You need this gadget. You need this thing. This will make you happy. This skin product. Well, some of us need more than that, don't we? But this is what the world is saying to you. Consume, consume. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, give, give. We had a meeting recently of our MLG steering group. And we were talking about what would define us as a network and what it is that would make people join our network, what churches to join our network. And we decided that what we wanted to say was, you can join our network if you want to give. I thought that was great. Because the thought is, well, how can we get people to consume what we're doing to join our network? We're not doing that. We're going to say, well, you've got to give. If you want to give to us, then you can join our network. And I think that's a good basis, because I think that's what the Holy Spirit's saying. You see, people get all screwed up and say, oh, I can't seem to receive anything of God. And they get themselves all tight and bound. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're one of those people that struggle to really understand and know a reality of God, I'd say this, give. Give. Give yourself. Go and work in the church. Go and give your money away, I was going to say. Maybe you do have to give your money away. But it's the heart, really, we're talking about. We're not talking about practical, physical things. We're talking about what is in your heart. Is your heart to give to God this morning? Because that's what a bride does. She gives herself to her husband. It's not about that. That's perhaps why marriages fail at times. Because people want to take. They say, I'm not getting anything out of this marriage. It's not doing anything for me. I say, well, what are you doing for the other person? What are you doing? Are you giving? Or is it all about take, what I'm getting out of it? It's not my blessing me. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, give me to drink. And you know, when I read this little section of this story, I was very much reminded of an incident in Jesus' life. Perhaps you were too. When he met a woman by a well. Again, a woman by a well. In John chapter 4. Jesus is weary. His disciples have gone off, and there he sits on the well, or sitting by the well. And this woman, Samaritan woman, messed up woman. Ever there was a messed up woman? It was this woman, married 5 times and living with another man at the moment. And Jesus says, ask her to give him a drink. Give me a drink. Who am I to give you a drink? Jesus wants to drink because he's looking for a bride. And I'm sure that woman, that Samaritan woman, her life was a complete mess up, she will be part of that bride of Christ on that day. Because in her heart was open to give a drink to Jesus. Is your heart open to give God a drink this morning, to give yourself to him this morning? The Holy Spirit is looking for those. He's looking for people who will give him a drink and his camels and his servants. Let's be a giving people and not a taking people. Let's be a people that give ourselves to God and give what we've got. Even though we might not think it's very much, it doesn't matter. He's got all the riches. He's not worried about how much we give. He's worried about whether our hearts are to give or not. Give ourselves. And he's looking for such to worship him. So let's move on then. Anyway, exactly as he prayed happened. This dear lady, Rebecca, and she was, what would she be? Isaac's cousin, is that right, Simon? I didn't work that out. She's Isaac's cousin. She's a relative anyway. She says exactly as he prays. She said, drink, my Lord. And she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And then she had finished giving him a drink. She said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. And she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. You see, it's the blessing the servants of God. We've got to have a heart that wants to serve and serve the servants of God. And then, where have I got to? Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well, and the man wondering at her remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had prospered his journey, had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold. How about that? All she did was give him a drink out the well. And yet he's giving her gold bracelets, gold nose ring. Fantastic. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And gold is a picture of purity. Mark was sharing this morning about purity. The first thing the Holy Spirit really wants to give you is purity of heart. Above everything else, for all your good feelings and that. He wants to come and save you and wash your heart. What did Jesus offer the woman at the well? He offered her living water. He said, if you'd known who it was that asked you, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water that will purify, that will cleanse your heart. This is what the Holy Spirit's come to do, to give you purity. Do you want to be pure of heart this morning? Don't worry that you've been married 5 times. He can do it. He can do it for you. And he wants to do it for you. And it's that first, that's the initial endowment from him, if you like, is purity. If you want purity of heart this morning, it's on offer. Just give yourself to him. And he'll give that to you. But he goes on and he says, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? That's where the Holy Spirit wants. He wants to come and live within you. Having purified your heart, he will come and make his home in you. Isn't that wonderful? But that isn't where the story ends. Because it isn't about the servant coming into the house of, into Rebecca's house. It's really about her being taken out of her house and moving, going on a journey that's heading towards that wedding with the son. That's really what it's, his work is about. It's not about that initial experience. And your Christian life isn't just about your initial experience, even if it is wonderful, even if it is fantastic, even if God really dealt with you and you were completely transformed and everything like that. That isn't what the Holy Spirit is primarily about in your life today. It's about whether you're going to move on with him and go on a journey with him, leading you. And we read that he comes into the house, this house. It appears that her father must have died at some point. And in the house, there is her brother Laban and her mother. But Laban would have taken the role of the father of the house, the head of the house. And anyway, so dear Eliezer takes hold of the... goes into to Laban's house. He explains the whole story, tells him the whole story, what Abraham's done, what he's done, he's prayed, how God has answered his prayer, how he's met Rebecca. and it's all just fitted into place. And you go, wow, wow, God must be in this. God must be at work in this, you'd say. But then it comes to this. Now, I want to take this analogy a little bit further this morning. And I want to say to you that, to me, Rebecca represents the new you in Christ. The new man in Christ, the new person in Christ. That's going to marry Jesus. But there's another character in this story that we've mentioned called Laban. And Laban this morning represents the old you. Represents the old, we would call flesh life, the life in the flesh. And he's got a different set of priorities than the Holy Spirit, than Eliezer. And so we, having told Laban his story, we come to verse 50. And it says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, and Bethuel's the mother, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. They have to admit, God's in this. God's at work. And someone, and that, there's that around you and within you, which says, you know, God's in this. I acknowledge that. And he said, here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. You think, hallelujah, you're there. This Laban is saying, you can go. And there'll be that in you, which may be very excited, when the Holy Spirit first enters your life and you sense the presence of God and you sense something wonderful happened and you get excited and you think, yes, this is great. Yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm really going to follow Jesus. And you know, the amazing thing is, it says, and it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. It all sounds wonderful. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Wow. The blessing of God's upon you. The Holy Spirit's come into your life and you're being transformed. I'm amazed what God does with our children. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at old Pete this week. He won't say this. We had a little thing from Pete this week. It said this. It said it was just a photograph of a letter. And it said, we congratulate you that you have become a fellow of the Personal Finance Society. Peter is a fellow of the Personal Finance Society. It doesn't mean he's a dodgy dealer. It means that he has qualified. He has been blessed. He has studied. He's worked. But God has been with him. And he is now, at his young age, a fellow of this learning society. And he can write those initials after his name. I don't say that to embarrass him, though I might. But the point is that God blesses our children. I may look at my grandchildren and how God has blessed them. There's a blessing upon our children. There's a blessing upon you when you receive, you come to the Lord. And he starts to transform things around you. And you're amazed. You think, where did these gifts come from? Where did these wonderful things that God's given me come from? And he gives you his gifts of the Spirit. We call that the spiritual gifts. He gives you ability to prophesy. He might even give you the ability to pray for people and they get healed. He's going to give you gifts. He gives you the gifts of tongues. He gives you different gifts in your life. And you're amazed. You think, wow, isn't it great being in the Holy Spirit? Isn't it great being with God? For that isn't what he's about, really. Because what he's about, it isn't Pete this morning saying, oh, aren't I great? God so blessed me. I'm a fellow of the Personal Finance Society. He's got to go on a journey. The Holy Spirit has wanted to take you on a journey this morning. It's called the rest of your life. You've had a great experience of God. You may be gifted of God in lots of ways. Or maybe you're not gifted that much. It doesn't matter, does it? That's up to him what he gives you. But the important thing is, are you going to go on this journey with him to the Son? That's the question for you this morning. Not how gifted you are. I think that part of that journey is learning to use these gifts that God's given us. We've got to learn how to use them for the glory of the Son, not for the glory of ourselves. I might be an old-fashioned husband, but I like it when my wife looks good. I like it when she dresses up and puts on her finery. I like it. And God loves it when you put on the things he's given you. When the things he's endowed you with. When you use them to his glory. When you use the gifts he's given you to your glory. Please, I want to encourage you this morning. Use the gifts that God's given you to God's glory. They glorify him. Don't think, oh, well, it's not for me. I'll just walk around with my old clothes on. You're here to glorify the Son of God, not yourself. Your natural inclination might be to say, well, I don't want to be very ostentatious. I don't want to, you know, get myself into trouble. I'll just be little me. You're not here to be little you or big you. You're here to glorify Jesus. He's your joy of your heart. He's the one you're moving towards in eternity. Are you living for him? Because, see, what happened was Laban saw these gifts. He was given precious things by Eliezer. And it says, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning and he said, send me away to my master. Eliezer says, let me take this bride away, this potential bride away to my master Isaac. And the Holy Spirit says, let me take this person on with God, on with myself, that I might prepare him for Jesus. But this is what Laban said. Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And we've got to be prepared that there's something in us that is going to say, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is there something within you this morning that's saying, I won't listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I will enjoy the gifts that God's given me now. And I will work out how I'm going to live my life for myself now. Is there something within us that is saying that? Or is there something that's saying, oh, hang on, just leave it a little while. I'll just get this aspect of my life sorted out. And then I will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're saying? Like Laban, the natural man, saying within you, saying, or the world saying, or your parents saying, or your wife saying, just wait a while. Don't listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying now. Let's get this sorted out in our lives. We can enjoy the blessings that God's given us already. Because when I read this, I see that Laban tried to delay the work of the Spirit, tried to hold this woman, Rebecca, his sister, tried to stop her going with Eliezer. And if you listen to the flesh, we call it, if you listen to that that's natural within you, or maybe what the world's saying, or what people around you are saying, you will stop that walking with the Holy Spirit. Let me read you what Paul said about this. It says this in Galatians chapter 5. I say to you then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Walk, Rebecca, walk with Eliezer. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusts or desires strongly against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Do you see that? There's going to be a conflict. We've got to expect that if we're going to listen and be led by the Spirit, we are going to enter into conflict this morning. There's going to be a battle There's going to be a difference between what our flesh says and what the Spirit's saying. And the question this morning is, are we going to listen to the Spirit? Or are we going to listen to the flesh? That's the choice this morning we're faced with. Are we going to stay what we, you know, she knew what she was getting with Laban. She'd lived in his house all her life. She knew he would provide for her. She knew that everything was safe there. Everything was okay. Sooner or later, someone would come along in the area and want to marry her. She's a very beautiful woman, we're told. Something would happen. You know, she wouldn't have had to wait for long to get married. But this offer came from her distant relative to marry the son, Abraham's son, who was very rich, who was rich anyway. But it meant going on a journey. You know, imagine that journey. I'd say it's a 1,000-mile journey up along the river Euphrates and then coming back down through Canaan, through Aleppo, interesting enough, probably. How long would that have taken on camels, 1,000 miles? I don't know, 2 months? Something like that. A long journey. You may have a long journey ahead of you. And you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the risks are. And that's what the Holy Spirit is calling you, and what the purpose of him in your life this morning is this: to lead you through things of life, to prepare you for that day when you will marry Jesus. That is what it's about. And that is the choice you have this morning. Will we trust the leading of the Spirit in our lives? Or do we just rely on what we know? Rely on the safety? Rely on the ease of everything we've grown up with? Because the riches of following the Spirit are far, far greater. But it can seem to us there's a risk. Are you prepared to follow the river? She had to follow the river Euphrates as it wound itself up through modern-day Iraq. Are you going to follow the river of the Spirit in your life, leading you, saying things to you? You know, this river's led us to go to Worthing. I don't know why we're going to Worthing. I don't know why I left here. I'd much prefer to stay here with all you that I know and love. But the Spirit, but I'm to be a man of the Spirit. I'm going to be led by the Spirit to that time when I come to Jesus. Are you prepared to listen to the Spirit and follow the prompting of the Spirit within your heart in the everyday things of life? It's not the big things I'm talking about, the everyday things. You know, when you're confronted with a conflict with someone, what's the Spirit saying about that? There's something in you saying, I'm going to get my own back. They deserve to hit. To have the full works of my anger. Is that what you say? Or do you listen to the Spirit? The Spirit might say, just don't say anything. Just let it go. So I couldn't do that. You can do by the power of the Spirit. He's going to be alongside you. That's the great thing. He doesn't leave you. Jesus didn't leave them as orphans. That's what he said. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm giving you the Spirit to lead you. That woman, Rebecca, she was totally dependent on the Spirit for that 1,000-mile journey. She wouldn't have known a clue how to get to Canaan. But she just trusted the servant. And we're to trust the prompting of the Spirit day by day as he speaks, as he drops things in our hearts. Oh, do we listen to that, or do we just listen to this flesh, which wants its own way all the time, which is self-centered, like Laban? What's in it for me? See, Jesus, there's nothing, none of that in Jesus. Jesus is not about himself at all. He's about laying his life down for you. And so he wants you to learn to lay your life down as well. That's the way he's going to lead you. Where you trust. I had a little picture this week that I read in a book about a little girl. And she was in a crowd. There's a lot of jostling. You know, she couldn't see anything other than these bodies all around her. But all she knew was her father. She was holding her father's hand. And her father was plotting a course through all these people. And there she was. All she had to do was hold on to her father's hand. And all the time she did that, she was totally safe. Didn't know where she was going. Didn't know what it was all about. What all these people were doing around her. But it was just that simple trust. Are we prepared to just hold on to the hand of the Holy Spirit as he leads us through life? Takes us through. Say, why on earth is this happening to me? Well, it's down to him. He knows what he's doing. Why am I having to go through this town that's so... Why am I going to go through this place that's so barren? Well, this is the way, the journey that he's plotted for you. We don't know. We're living for eternity this morning. We've got to believe we're not living for what's going to happen in the next... I've perhaps got 20 years or so left or whatever. I'm not living for those 20 years. I'm living for the eternity beyond. Are you living for the eternity beyond? Or have you got conned by the world into saying it's all about what's happening now? It's all about the pressures and difficulties I'm finding in my life today. Is that what you're like? It isn't about that. Repent of that. Lay it aside. So I'm going to come and I'm going to receive of the Spirit. And I'm going to be led by the Spirit. He wants to teach you. He will teach you all things you need to know. He will lead you in all the ways of God. But you've got to listen. You've got to listen. You've got to follow. You've got to trust him. He knows what he's about. I know there have been times in my life when I could tell you when I didn't know a clue. What on earth? Why am I going through this? And I can't tell you some of them even now. Well, I know this, it was all the Holy Spirit leading in a way that I couldn't have ever worked out. Do we believe this morning? Are we going to be a spiritual people that follow the Spirit, or are we just going to be people of the flesh that do what we think's best? That's the choice we have this morning. You've got to choose what you want. She had to choose, Rebecca. She had to say, I will follow this man, Eliezer. He could be leading me up the garden path. But the indications are he's not. Because look what he's given me already. And that's what you've got to trust. He's blessed me to this point. What was it? What's that thing that Hudson told you? Ebenezer, was it? Hitherto had the Lord helped us. Hitherto had the Lord helped us. You might say, you've got to believe that hitherto has the Lord helped us. And now he's saying, from this moment on, I'm going to listen to the Spirit. I'm going to be governed by the leading of the Spirit and not the leading of my understanding of the way I've been brought up and all the rest of it. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? And we said this, he says, well, let this woman ask. And they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? Almost like a wedding proposal in itself, because that's what it was. She knew that she was going with this man, Eliezer. She was being betrothed to Isaac, the son of Abraham. And she said, I will go. And that's what you've got to say this morning. I will go. So they sent her away. And it says, then Rebecca, and we finished the story because it's a lovely ending. Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Rohi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebecca lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, I wonder what she thought. But she got off her camel, and she said, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We love stories with a happy ending, don't we? I don't like stories that don't end happily. Your story can have a happy ending. Eliezer and Isaac's story, Rebecca's had a happy ending. Are you going to enter into the happy ending? She could have stayed in Nahor, the city of Nahor in Mesopotamia. She could have lived under Laban's protection because she knew that. Or she could say, I'm going to take a punt. I'm going to trust this man. He's going to lead me into something that's far greater. And that's what God offers you this morning. He says, will you listen to the Spirit? Will you commit your life to be led by the Spirit? And you'll probably make a few mistakes along the way, because some of Laban's thinking would have got into her. And along that way, she might have argued with Eliezer. She might have said, oh, why are we going through this? Why are we doing that? And you might say that at times to God. Why am I doing this? Why has this happened to me? But he'd just say, this is the way we got to go. If you want to stay, you can go back if you like. But this is the way to the sun. And that's what God's saying to you this morning and to me. This is the way to the sun. Are you going to buy it? Are you going to grab hold of it and take hold of it? Or are you just going to say, well, no, I can't do it. That's not for me. Please don't say that. Please don't say that's not for me. Please say, I'm going to listen to the Spirit. If you're struggling with a situation, come before God afresh and say, Lord, speak to me. Show me that I'm doing the right thing. You just come like that. That's all he wants you to do. You haven't got to work it out. You haven't got to be great, goody-goody. You haven't got to be a superstar. Sometimes I think we worship heroes too much. God is after the ordinary people. This is for the ordinary people. This is for you and I that are just ordinary. He wants the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.